I have some exciting news for you and for the people.
Oh boy.
Well, I guess two bits of exciting news. There's just stuff that is personal and shameless plug of mine, and then there's like good news for the pod.
Heck yeah.
So what do you want to hear first?
Personal.
Okay, so I have been working on, so I maybe have mentioned that on the side I write music, I sing, I play piano, and I have been working on an album for 2 years now. And it's finally all recorded.
Woohoo!
It's not mastered yet. It's not out yet. I'm still working on, I got like a title and cover art and everything together, but I'm so excited that this is like out of my brain and into like actual physical form. And then it can just, and then you know what I'm going to do? I'm sending that motherfucker to everybody. Netflix is getting a copy. Fucking HBO is getting a copy. Fucking your mom.
What are you saying?
He's getting a cop.
Music no, to HBO
because
and Netflix.
Because that is the, like, nobody makes money on music anymore except if like an established institution picks it up and like will pay you to use it for. So like, for example, if they're looking for like opening credit music for some new bullshit they're working on, because the people that make money, so like there is one human being making money from Spotify and it's Taylor Swift. Nobody
right.
makes money from music anymore. So I'm just trying to get my shits out into the airwaves. I perform under the name Rainbow Rev. It's a 6-track demo motherfucker that'll be out on all the shit that this is out. So keep your fucking ear to the ground for that. The good news for the pod.
Heck yeah.
Is that we are now on Patreon. So it's just like our Instagram page and Pixel PC. You can find us on Patreon. There are several membership tiers ranging from like $3 to $25. And as you know, as our fans are known as peepees for Page and Pixel, the tiers are like, you can be, if you want to give us $3 a month, we appreciate it, but you're a small peepee. And then all the way up through enormous peepee, if you want to give us $25 a month. And guess what? We already have an enormous peepee. We have a person who has pledged to give $25 a month to our Patreon. That person, one of the benefits they get from being a patron is they get a shout out every episode that we record that they're still patrons. So thank you, John Red Robin MILF Hunter 69. For being our first and currently only patron. If you want to hop on the bandwagon and also become a patron, we have set a goal where if we get $100 a month in patron money, we are going to start putting out monthly bonus content to the Patreon. We're talking Let's Plays. We're talking blooper reels. We're talking feet pics. Maybe.
No.
Maybe.
No.
Maybe. So that's
I might dive into. I bet you didn't know that there is lots of drama in the book social media world.
Oh, we can talk shit about the people that make the stuff.
Well, it's like creators who talk about the stuff, but they're all complete idiots.
I love making fun of an idiot.
Yeah, I will start saving the shit out of threads and Instagram posts and TikToks that I see. And we can just
roast away.
Roast people.
Roast some
for
marshmallows
their idiotic
on their asses.
Takes.
Yeah, so that's what you have to look forward to if you find us on Patreon. And honestly, like we need your financial support if you want us to have a mixer with more than two channels in it. If you want us to be able to start doing more and bigger things. If you want us to take it on the road and go to that, what was that motherfucking place we were going to take a road trip to?
Oh, yeah, the place in Wisconsin with all the creepy stuff.
Hell yeah, if you want us to go there, that place with that, whatever it's called. We need gas money. You've seen what the fuck Trump has done to the economy.
Hell yeah.
We need your money. We need your, listen, fuck your family that you're trying to feed.
Yeah.
Entertainment.
Listen,
need your money.
You can't even be buying. You can't even buy food right now anyway, because it all will give you explosive diarrhea.
You might as well.
Or I think they found glass in some bread.
Jesus Christ.
I think Canada has a garlic powder recall going on right now. That shit's in everything.
What is happening? I have to tell you. So I had a bit of a sad day, so I went to Red Robin to drink and make myself happier.
I love Red Robin.
So I'm eating this burger, and I'm like halfway through it. And Game Boy is like, you know, I intentionally got a burger that didn't have lettuce on it. And I look down and I'm like, motherfucker, I might be dead by
That's
morning.
Okay. We went to Olive Garden for dinner last night.
No!
I was like, there's no fucking way I'm not eating my Olive Garden salad.
I get it. And honestly, like, knock me out for a few days. Bind me to my toilet for a few days. I fucking dare you. Take all my responsibilities away, please.
Yeah.
So anyway, we have a book episode today, don't we?
Heck yeah, we do. All right. So today we are taking a trip back in time to the summer of 2014.
Whoa.
Happy by Pharrell Williams and Anaconda by Nicki Minaj are dominating the radio waves.
My Anaconda don't want none unless you respect me, hun.
Yep, that one. That's exactly the lyrics. Everyone is doing the ice bucket challenge. They're running to the theater to watch the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
How was the same summer that was the Ice Bucket Challenge and Anaconda? Like, to me, like, Anaconda just happened and the Ice Bucket Challenge was from when I was a child. Like, how is that the same?
Same year.
What the fuck?
I Googled it.
What the fuck?
I was frantically Googling things that happened in the summer of 2014. A very lame summer, for the most part.
Lots of dry humping with me and my very Christian boyfriend. Summer of 2014.
I don't know what I was doing then. I had just finished my freshman year of college.
I had no idea
what I was doing with my life. I was dating a loser.
Ooh. Not dry humping your loser friend?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Things were going a little bit further than that.
Oh, hell yeah. Man, no, that's how much of a loser.
No, but I have regrets.
See, my boyfriend was such a loser. He was such a fucking, like.
I mean, mine was too, just in a different way.
Just the purity culture, like.
See, here's the thing, though, is that I, like, re-virginized myself after that, so.
Oh, no way. I love that for you.
Yeah.
I never
And now I'm back again to be like, who the fuck cares?
I really love that for you. See, I. The whole, like, purity culture thing for me, like, I was so done with it by that point. And we got married, like, the next spring. But, like, also looking back, if we were two women, mm-hmm. we were having sex. Like, everybody was coming. It was just, like, we weren't doing the one thing.
Yeah.
So we were fine in the eyes of God, right?
Something like that.
It was so, so stupid.
Yeah.
So dumb.
No, I definitely remember... talking to my best friend on the phone in the middle of the night, sobbing about how awful it was, about what I had done, and how I needed to confess it to somebody so that I would, you know, it was a whole thing. So then I re-virginized, and now I'm like, who cares? But sometimes I still have guilt over it, even though I know it's not, like, I still will be like, oh my God.
How was I
such
a hussy?
I know. I was a floozy.
Well, it happens. Some people hit their floozy stage late. I think I am.
And by floozy, I mean.
I'm right.
Like two people.
I'm in the midst of my flu. I'm in my floozy era. I'm embracing my floozitude. We have gone so far afield. What? This book, 2014.
Anyway,
shit's,
okay,
shit's
so
happening.
The book even mentions Logan and Jake Paul.
No fucking way. Amazing.
Of course, that summer, the biggest thing to happen, we all remember, when the moon disappeared out of the sky.
Wait, I'm so, hold on. I have had such a day that I'm like, did that happen? That didn't happen. We,
oh, you know what? Happened. I'm so sorry. That's the plot that's of the book part. We're reading.
That's the part that didn't happen. Because honestly, like anything from my memory of everything that happened before 2016 is gone. Like maybe the moon was fucking gone for a summer and I forgot about it.
Yeah. No. Sorry. I'm you playing footsies with
she touched my toesies. Ooh.
Anyway. We Hexed the Moon is a nostalgic trip that follows four friends the summer before they all head off into adulthood where they, they hexed the moon.
Okay. What did the moon offend them somehow?
Let's get lit. I'll let you know. Listen, I actually had a lot of fun writing this episode.
Okay, so I'm excited. I can tell. I can tell you're feeling yourself. Yes. I love it.
Thank you. I try. Sometimes I have confidence. It's not very often, but apparently today.
You know what? You, I'm so happy that there is someone in this room that feels like their existence is worthwhile today. I'm glad that you've taken all those stat points for yourself. You can have them.
It's usually you, so it's my turn today. So this book, I'm going to start by saying this book technically is told through jumping back and forth between like what's happening and then the day before, but to make things simpler on me to recap this plot, I have just done everything in chronological order.
Perfect.
So our four friends are Jen, the uptight, studious, gifted kid. Harding, the secretly rebellious one from a religious family.
Oh, I'm everyone so far. Continue.
Macy, the shy, slightly lost girl. And Goldie, the one who is hot, but has a troubled past.
I'm four for four.
Well, I'm... Oh, shit. That was... I'm not hot. So.
Oh my god, shut the fuck up. You were just talking about how confident you are.
I can be confident and still know that I am not.
You don't know hot. How it felt when you brushed your toes on my toes. You don't know that the condition your chair is in right now. I'm sorry.
Listen, I do not have dwarfism, so I know I'm not your type.
Oh, can I tell you? So oh, I talked god. To that person. I talked to that person we both know that knew you in high school. Uh-huh. And they said that they thought you were really cute in high school.
Yeah, we almost dated, I think.
Yeah, but like they were like, yeah, I was into it. I was into them.
Yeah. But I was too scared because I wasn't allowed to date. So we missed our shot.
Yeah, now they're married. And yeah, you're it's married. Fine. Everyone's married.
Now it's fine. Who cares? Anyway. So the events of the story start with these four friends hanging out on a summer day. They're gossiping. They're making fun of Jen for the boy she likes. They refer to him as Six Pack. He looks like the Paul brothers. That's where the Logan Paul and Jake Paul.
Why would you make fun of someone for liking someone hot? Whatever.
Because he's an idiot.
Oh, fair.
He's like a himbo.
Oh, there's more to people than just how they look. That's right.
Yeah, homie. Anyway, lots of, you know, teenagery topics. Mm-hmm. Fun. Harding and Macy are very close, but it's supposed to be a secret.
Uh-huh, sure.
They won't admit their feelings out loud, even though they're literally always together. At one point, Harding and Jen get into a fight about the existence of God and spiritual forces, you know.
Sure.
You know, normal things that teenagers talk about.
Honestly, yeah. Yep.
So they decide they're going to try to put a spell on the moon. If it works, then Harding knows that God is real. If it doesn't work, then Harding knows God isn't real, apparently.
Wait a second. There are so many steps between I did a hex and the moon disappeared. Like, there are so many other things that could... Maybe it didn't work because you're a fucking idiot. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry.
Just let it go. I'm sorry. Let me explain. I know. It's absolutely ridiculous. I read that and I was like, that in no way does anything. But whatever. You know, teenager logic. Whatever.
Sure.
Anyway, so they go over to Macy's house because her mom and her weird stepdad are out of town. Nice. So they draw a pentagram offer valuables as a sacrifice and say a prayer cantation thing.
Just like the God of the Judeo-Christian scriptures would dictate.
Nothing happens, obviously. You can't hex the moon.
Oh, okay. See, I thought the moon disappeared, so.
Well, the next night, Macy rushes to Jen's house to tell her that the moon is, in fact, gone.
Oh, shit, it worked. It just had a delay. Sometimes hexes do that. You gotta wait fucking
24 to 48 business hours.
God has a lot of paperwork to work through. There's a backlog that God's working on as we speak.
Mm-hmm. He's very busy now.
Honestly, 24 or 48 hours, that's not bad for the amount of bullshit people be slinging at the supreme deity of many names.
It doesn't end there. The moon appears in Jen's bedroom.
Oh, wait a second.
Not as the actual moon. Not the rocks. You know,
I was
going to
say, that's too big. That's too big for a bedroom.
No, the moon has appeared as a glowing, ethereal woman.
Hot, of course.
Very cool, very cool.
Oh, wait. You've watched Avatar The Last Airbender, right?
No.
Oh, my God. Okay, so there's one scene where these two bros are like bonding for the first time. And one guy's like, yeah, I was dating this girl, and then she turned into the moon, which is a whole other side plot. And then the other guy's like, that's tough, buddy. Maybe it's, that's rough, buddy. It's one of those, and it's like, that's how men support each other.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend became the moon? That's rough.
So the moon explains their hex did not work, but the moon is tired of being motherfucking disrespected.
Ooh.
People used to worship her, and now these stupid teenage girls are trying to put a hex on her as a little dare game. How dare them? The moon is sick of it. Anyway.
Okay.
So that's why she's here now. As she moves around the room, the ground begins to shake. This alerts Jen's dad and her nasty, racist half-brother Max.
Ew.
Or stepbrother. I can't remember.
Who fucking cares?
Whatever. So they figure out, okay, the moon's not in the sky anymore. But they can't see the moon in the house. She's only made herself appear to Jen and Macy at this point.
Great.
So Jen calls Harding and... sorry, my brain just farted. Harding and Goldie, and is like, hey, the moon's here. Y'all gotta get over here right the fuck now.
Can you, like, getting that phone call, you're going no matter what.
Yeah.
But it's like, my friend is in crisis and clearly needs a grippy sock vacation.
Yeah.
Or, I'm gonna go meet the fucking moon.
Yeah.
That's a win-win.
Yeah.
Really.
Really. So, they both show up. Harding and Goldie show up. Goldie is wearing her brother's boots, who we will learn later on is dead. It's very important to the plot, but I don't have time to go into all of that. You just have to know that he's dead.
That bitch is dead.
Yeah, it's really sad.
It's fucking sad that that bitch is dead.
Harding asks the moon what she wants in order to go back to being the moon. The moon tells them that she is done being the moon.
Oh.
They must find a human sacrifice to take her place so that she can have the body to live on Earth.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
Goldie tries to volunteer because she's, you know, a little fucked up from her twin brother dying. Her friends are like, absolutely not. We are not doing that.
I see her logic, though. Like, she's part of the reason this is happening.
Yes. But they're like,
why should somebody else have to do it? Why should someone else have to clean up her mess? If she wants to do it, she wants to go be shining in the sky, see her fucking sad dead brother, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know what? Shortest book ever. And Goldie fell on the sword for all of humanity, the end.
It would have been a very short book had that happened, but it didn't. So here we are. So now they got to make a plan. Their first idea is, we're going to figure out a way to reverse the hex. Even though the moon told them the hex isn't why she's here. They're like, no, there's got to be a way to reverse this. So they Google it. It has something to do with water. So they all get in the bathtub. They're chanting some prayer thing. And obviously it doesn't work. The moon opens the door and is like, what the fuck are you doing? Get out of the bathtub. Essentially. So back to square one. So they kind of start asking some questions. Does the body have to be a living body? The moon is like, I'm not reanimating some nasty decomposing corpse. And they were like, well, what if it's fresh? And she was like, I don't know, maybe. So they're like, okay, we're going to go steal a dead body.
Sure you are, children.
So they do. They go to the morgue. And because everyone is so distracted by the fact that the moon is gone, they are able to steal a dead body.
And okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure they did. You know what? Sure.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So
hospitals don't have cameras in 2014. That was before hospitals had
security.
Listen,
nobody cared. The moon was gone. All of humanity was going to perish without the moon.
Was it?
The moon is very important.
It's true. The moon is important.
The tides. What are we going to do about the tides? That's all I know about what the moon does. Like, the moon controls
the tides. If there's no tides, that's probably bad.
Yeah, probably. Anyway. So, that's why they're able. Everyone else is distracted. So, they get the body back to Jen's room. They're trying to get the body back to Jen's room, but they need to distract Jen's nasty brother, Max. And so, they send Goldie to distract him by flirting with him.
I knew they were gonna, dangle her like a piece of bait.
So they get Jen's body, or not Jen's body, they get the body to Jen's room, and the moon is like, no, I don't want this. I love the moon.
So they just stole a body for nothing. Yeah. And the moon just fucking sends it back to the kitchen, like the worst customer you ever
She's
served.
Like, essentially, the moon says, you have to find someone who deserves it. That's what she tells them.
Like it's an honor to be sacrificed and become the moon. She doesn't want to do it. If it's such a nice gig.
She doesn't say that. They do not assume that. They assume that it's like somebody who deserves to be punished. That is where they're like, oh, so we got to find some really crappy person to kill and give to the moon.
Turns out Andrew Tate is the new moon.
Yeah, I mean, those capris, those were honestly real. Brandon just told me about his outfit today.
I love the outfit. I'd wear that. I mean, I just hate him. I don't want him in it. But, like,
listen,
it's got drip. I'm not going to say it doesn't.
I don't know. I haven't looked up a picture.
I don't know. I'm feeling it.
While this is happening, Goldie gets a text from Max about a party that's happening. No time for parties right now.
The moon is gone.
But they're having like an end of the world party.
Oh, that sounds good actually.
Yeah. No time for parties.
We should have an end of the world party every fucking night until God gets the fucking clue that we're done. We're done.
Please stay.
Okay, wrap it up.
Come down here, figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't think that's gonna happen. So sorry. Anyway, before they do anything else, they have a dead body to get rid of. Mm-hmm. So Harding and Jen push it out the window and go dump it in the lake.
That's somebody's, like, meemaw. I don't know who
it's a young girl.
That's somebody's daughter. Like, that's even fucking worse.
She's dead. Who cares?
The family that would like to bury her.
The moon is gone! What are you not getting about this? The moon is fucking gone. Nothing matters right now.
Not love, not family, nothing matters.
There are no loyalties when the moon is missing. Okay, so they get back and the girls talk. They come to the conclusion that they are, in fact, going to have to kill somebody. So they decide they're going to start practice stabbing on a boxing dummy in Max's room.
Yes.
But again, they are going to have to get Max out of his room. It is at this time that Goldie decides to tell everyone that she has been fucking Max.
Wow! Like before she was used to distract. Oh.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Just for fun.
I mean, that's usually why.
No feelings involved. She's not in love with Max. She just, you know.
He's just got one of them big old wing-wangs.
He's got an enormous pee-pee.
Yeah. Never know who's going to get one.
They are going to send Goldie with Max to the party to scout out someone to kill. Macy is going to go with because they're going to stop at her house to get Goldie clothes, because remember, she's in her pajamas and her dead mm-hmm. brother's boots. So they take her there. They leave Macy at her house. Macy bikes back to Jen's house. When she gets back, they're in Max's room, practicing stabbing the dummy. Jen knows all about where to stab people because she is too smart for her own good.
Okay.
But she's not able to actually stab the dummy. It's actually Harding who's like, okay, cool, and stabs the dummy. And then she turns around, kisses Macy, tells her that she loves her, and she's not going to go to school in the fall. By the way, she was going to go to Liberty University, because remember, her family is super religious.
There's a lot happening.
Yeah. I'm leaving out a lot, because there's a lot of, like, minor things that I'm like, but that's not important to, like, the main details of the plot. It's more for, like, the messaging of the book.
Okay.
So, like, there's a lot going on in all of these characters' brains
uh-huh.
that we learn about, but I'm not getting into all of that sure. because that would take forever.
Because teenage brains. Who cares?
So, after they're done practicing, Jen, Harding, Macy, and the Moon all get in their car and go to the party to meet up with Goldie. When they get there, they ask Goldie if she has found someone to sacrifice, and she says yes. A car pulls up, and none other than Sixpack walks up to join them. Sixpack, Jen's crush from the beginning of the
story.
So
he's the sacrifice? He's just stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to, there's worse things to be.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Why not racist stepbrother? Racist is worse than stupid.
I don't know.
I mean, there's a lot of overlap there, but in general.
So, they get into the car and they go to the local diner that is now closed, but that's where Sixpack works, so he's able to get them in. They're gonna, I don't know what he thinks that they're gonna do, party or something. Goldie picks up a knife from the counter, but Harding grabs it from her, so they're all kind of, like, trying to, like, they're like, no, I'll take the fall,
fighting
no, I'll take
knife.
The fall.
Yeah, great.
Cool, great, awesome. But Jen realizes that it is not the person who is killed that is the sacrifice, but the one who does the killing. She takes the knife from Harding, stabs Sixpack, and seals her fate as the new Moon. Fast forward to September, about a month later. Macy, Harding, and Goldie meet to catch up. Goldie has decided she's not going to school and she's going to pursue modeling in New York. Macy is going backpacking around the world, and Harding is working in DC as a bartender and might take a few classes at Georgetown. She's also cut her hair short, has started wearing jeans instead of, you know, skirts. She's wearing a flannel. She's embraced her queerness.
Okay.
And she's a bartender now, and she might take some classes, but she's not sure. The Moon is now in Jen's body, dropped contact, packed up, moved to Yale, said nothing.
So wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Moon is in Jen's body. So the mm-hmm. Moon is going to Yale, mm-hmm. and Jen is the Moon.
Jen is the Moon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there. I'm good.
We do get a little snapshot of the Moon. She is sitting in the library at Yale. A boy invites her to a party. She knows old Jen would have definitely said no, but she decides to go anyway, and the book ends with her blowing Jen, the new Moon, a kiss.
I thought you were going to say the Moon ends with her blowing this the book ends with her blowing this dude.
That would have been fantastic, too.
Old Jen would have never done this.
Who's
old Jen? What do you mean?
So, favorite moment, There is this part, so when Jen and Harding go to dump the body, they kind of have this, like, heart-to-heart moment where Jen is kind of pushing back on Harding, because Jen knows that Harding is trying to, like, figure out how she feels about her faith and spirituality. She's confused about her sexuality, about her attraction to girls and stuff, and Jen is like, you don't have to go to Liberty. You don't have to keep pretending. You don't have to do any of this stuff.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I do. I believe in God still. It's fine. I'll be fine. I'm going to go to Liberty. Everything's going to be cool. And I don't know. I just felt like this is a conversation that has happened in my own head a lot. Of like, no, it's fine. I'll just keep pretending. It's way easier to just keep pretending than to do things any other way. So, I don't know. I really liked that part. I really liked this whole book overall. So I had kind of had trouble picking like one favorite part. But when I was rereading a little bit to do the synopsis, that part in the book stuck out to me. So I was like, okay, I'll talk about that for a little bit. My least favorite part, let me tell you. I do not have any complaints about the story. I do not have any complaints about anything that happened in the story. What I do have a complaint about is that this is a thing that occasionally an author will do. They will not use quotation marks or any other form of styling to show that dialogue is happening.
Yeah.
It's just words. And it's makes confusing. Me so angry. I even like posted about it on Threads and everyone was just like, it's just a stylistic choice. And I'm like, but why?
Right.
Why is that a choice? And so I guess there are some old dead white men who are like, if a book is written well enough, you'll be able to tell when it's dialogue. And I'm like,
I feel like I learned that like it's not like, sure, like everything, you know, poetic license, whatever, but like it's not like when I was taking like composition classes, if I didn't use quotes to denote dialogue, it was wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
but, you know, in literature, we take creative liberties. And I'm like, here's the thing. If you don't want to use, I know some people use the single quotes, or I think that's a very popular thing in like the UK is to use the single, whatever. Italicize, put it in a new line. I don't care. Something to tell me that someone is talking. Especially when a lot of the book is stream of consciousness. So these people are talking in their own heads. So then I'm like, is this person actually talking right now? Or are they just talking in their head? That was really my only complaint.
Yeah.
It didn't ruin the book. I got used to it. It's not going to make me not finish a book. I think it's a dumb stylistic choice. Overall,
I think my favorite, and like I know he's got his problems, I know he's not perfect, but one of the things early on that really drew me to Stephen King stylistically as a writer is the way that he would write dialogue, because he would write like what a character said, typically like quotation marks, what they're saying, and then interspersed there would be sections in like parentheses and italics that would be what they're thinking as they're speaking. And I just thought it was so cool to see like the difference between this is the character. This is how they present themselves. This is what's happening inside. It's clear as fucking day. So you know what's being said and what isn't.
Yeah.
But it was just like this way, like total omniscience. Like I know everything about this person's reaction to this. I was just really impressed with that. It. I think it lent a lot to like how rich and deep his characters are in general, because the way that he presents it, and it's super clear to the reader. I hate when it's like, I'm not going to, you fucking figure it out. When it's dialogue, when it's in my head.
You're writing it. You tell me. That's your job.
Literally.
Anyway, I've never read a Stephen King book.
I'm sure there would be one that you would like.
I don't know. I just think that Stephen King is a not great person.
I mean, that's possible.
And so that makes me not want to read his books.
But like his best writing is from when he was his worst as a person. Yeah. He was fully coke addicted. That's just good shit. I'm just saying, like, that's the top shelf.
Yeah. Maybe when he's dead, I'll read some of his books.
It probably won't be live. Like, have you seen him lately?
I know. He's not doing great.
I mean, he's been addicted to several things for, you know, He was like run over by a minivan. What if we wake up tomorrow morning
and it's announced that like Stephen King is dead?
I will not leave my bed for days. Like, I know he's a problem, but he was like my first literary love. I will be a shell of a human.
Understandable.
Somebody better buy me chocolate. Listen, fuckers out there, when Stephen King finally kicks it, I expect a message from all of you saying like, "Hey, Pixel, sure you're having a hard day. Sorry, babe.
We subscribe to your Patreon so that you can buy a chocolate bar."
I would love that. I would love that. I will host a Page and Pixel Patreon feed funeral for Stephen King whenever that happens.
It will not be endorsed by Page at all.
It doesn't have to be like a respectful funeral.
Can I just roast him the whole time?
A fully honest funeral. Good, bad, ugly.
So, my favorite character, I guess I don't know if they're my favorite characters, but they're definitely the two characters that I related to the most, are Jen and Harding. Jen, from the standpoint of being this, like, super responsible, overachieving, gifted kid, that is just like, this is what's expected of me, and I, you know everything, and I'm always right. And then also, with Harding, all this confusion about her religion, about her sexuality, obviously super right up my alley.
Uh-huh.
So I just throughout the book, I wanted to like, just like shake them mm-hmm. and be like, "Oh my God, Jen, shut up. Listen to other people. Just because you know you have more knowledge doesn't mean you know what's best in this situation."
I don't like the way you're looking right at me as you're
saying this sentence. I'm just talking to you. No.
I feel like you're saying something about me. I think
you're maybe projecting a little bit based on how your last week has gone. Talking about you.
It's true. That is fucking fair and valid.
Love you. I'm going to just gently push back there.
And I will receive that because I'm not a fucking know-it-all.
Anyway, so sometimes I think I still need to hear this because sometimes I am the person who will just go, actually that's not correct. And sometimes in my head I just need to be like, "Oh my God, Paige, shut the fuck up."
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares mm-hmm. if something's not technically correct. Mm-hmm. It is terrible, and I'm pretty sure it's why I have very few friends.
I mean, so listeners at home of this audio podcast, what Paige just did was did a little smile, two peace sign pose for fucking nobody, because God knows I don't care and nobody else can see it. But I just thought you should know. She just touched my toesies again. About to lose one of the few friends you still know. I'm fucking playing. Never, I love you. Never, never. Oh my God. I'm here for the long haul.
No, but really, I have multiple times in my life been lied to by people who I thought were my friends, but in reality, did not like me at all and were just pretending to be my friend. This has happened 2 or 3 times in my real life. I am constantly afraid that everyone who is my friend actually secretly hates me.
You're not, like, rich. Why would somebody pretend? Like, what is the benefit of pretending to be your friend?
I don't know. I would love to know. I've talked about this in therapy. I'm like, obviously, I'm the problem, because why do people keep doing this to me?
No, that's an insane thing to do. Like, what? I could see if you were, like, a billionaire and you, every friend...
Like, they
you...
didn't want to hurt my feelings, so they just pretended for a while until they were finally like, "You know what? I actually don't want to be your friend anymore. I actually can't stand you."
Whoa, that's heavy.
Yeah. I think it's happened 2 or 3 times in my life. 2 for sure. I feel like there's a third one that I'm forgetting about, but I know it's happened twice for sure.
I just have this problem where I get in like emotionally messy situationships constantly with my guy friends, and it's like, why? I slowed way down since me and Game Boy met, but like, especially when I was with my ex-husband, it was like it was like all the fucking time. So that's 100% me. That's a me thing.
But apparently I am so fragile that people will just pretend to be friends with me, even though they absolutely cannot stand me. And I have a complex about it now.
I keep you around because you're fragile and I like seeing you squirm. That's not true at all. I'm fucking with you. Babe, I am not.
Y'all, I'm losing my confidence. You know that confidence I had at the beginning? It's slowly,
I'm taking it back. I am the psychic vampire of your nightmares.
Energy vampire. Anyway, so I also at the same time wanted to hug Harding and tell her it's okay to be who you are and that your queerness and your spirituality are not at odds with each other. You can explore both of those things. And I would also tell her that she should absolutely, under no circumstances, go to Liberty University.
No, not
which
at
she
all.
Doesn't.
Yeah.
But I did go to Liberty University online, I will say. I did not go. I took it online because it was cheap and they let anybody in. Okay? And I needed to finish my freaking degree because I had already dumped so much money into going to college that I was like, I'm not coming out of it. Why do I keep touching,
you keep touching my feet? Because I am cheap and I'll let anybody in. That's why.
Okay. Anyway, so the writing of this book, other than that one little bitty thing about the no quotation marks, this book worked for me. It mashed together this like magical realism and a little bit of weird girl and a little bit of subtle humor, and then balanced very well plot and character development in just a little magical mixture that made me happy. It took me back to being a teen, thinking that after graduating, I needed to make the one right choice for college or my life would be fucked. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But now, on the other side, there are still some things in life that are kind of fucked. You know, that just is life. But I'm really glad I didn't end up going to the Christian college I was going to attend. I probably wouldn't have met Grumpy. I would be in a career that I absolutely hate. I wouldn't be doing this podcast right now.
No.
I'd probably still be knee-deep in white conservative evangelicalism.
Ew.
Nasty. So, thank God. Thank the moon.
Sure.
That did not happen. I remember, though, being just, like, so mad that every single one of my friends was going off and doing these grand things, and, like, I was just here going to the local school. But now I know, I don't know, I guess it just felt good to see other people going through it, even if it was in this fictional book.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt good to, like, kind of let that go a little bit. The book, I felt like it just made me laugh a lot because it was just like stupid stuff.
Yeah.
That like teenagers say. And I was like, oh my God, this was me as a teenager. Yeah. I don't know. I felt like it was just really fun to see these friends who were like yelling at each other and calling each other like idiots and bitches 1 second. And then the next second they're like helping each other and like giving heartfelt advice. And I was just like, wow, what a good friendship. I don't know.
Yeah, you bitch. You idiot. Do you need me to do your fucking laundry, you bitch? You idiot.
I'm not paying you to do my laundry.
I wouldn't make
you
pay
it.
To do my laundry. I would just help.
The book also touches on a lot of different types of grief. It talks about the grief of, you know, losing a loved one. It deals with the grief of lost friendships, grief about the world going to shit. They talk a lot about ecological grief in this book.
Hey, aren't we all there this week? My God.
Oh my God, I can't even breathe outside. It just made me stop and feel those feelings and I don't know. I feel like it just did a really good job with what it was trying to do. I could go on and on and on and on about what all of this book talks about, but I feel like you should just go read it yourself.
Yep.
It's not a long book. It's a quick read. But it also is a little bit more. So I think this is the author's first book. So I am interested. I hope this author continues to write more books and I will read them.
Yeah, give us more weird shit.
Yeah, I have gotten really into, like, it's called Weird Girl Lit.
Sure.
That's like one of my top genres, that and horror. I used to be really like fantasy and romance. And like over the last year, I'm like, no, I just want to be terrified for some reason.
So
I've never been a horror person until like this point in my life.
There has been a lot of discourse online, especially around the new movie Obsession that came out.
I want to see
it. It's
that.
Incredible. I do a little series in the fall called Horror and Theology, like locally. Mm-hmm. And Obsession is definitely getting a screening if you want to make it out to.
I will tell me
when you're available and I'll just schedule around you because fuck everyone else. So anyway, so there's been a lot of discourse online about how like romance doesn't understand women. Horror understands women. And it's like,
yeah,
I feel that, especially the most recent shit that's been coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In movies. Yes. I feel like I have read a lot of romance books. That's like, oh yeah, no, like you get what women
sure
want. But I feel like, yeah, as far as like, I feel like a lot of like rom-coms and stuff, I'm like, this isn't what I want. This isn't what women are like.
The ratio to like books that come out versus movies, I feel like, you know, there's a lot, like you can self-publish a book. I feel like it's harder to like get a movie made, and you have to have those industry connections and are the right people connected in a lot of the time. I don't know.
Nice. Well, that's all I got.
Did you give a number rating for the book?
Oh, shit. No, I didn't. 4.
Shit, 4 out of 5. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey there.
If
so
if those quotation marks been there, probably would have been a 5 out of 5.
That's a whole star you lost.
Unfortunately. It just, I have to stop and think a little bit more. And so I can't, like, get into a flow as easily.
Yeah.
So it's hard to find a book perfect when I have to keep going. Wait.
Is
that somebody talking?
Yeah, I get it.
But it was still really good overall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again to John Red Robin MILF Hunter 69 for your support. Find us on Patreon and Instagram at Page and Pixel PC.
Heck yeah.
But for now,
I didn't write an ending.
Let's go back to the old faithful because Ice has been up to some shit.
Oh, yeah. Read hard.
Play hard. And fuck Ice!